Please be advised that the following episode of Theatre of the World contains a fake warning, where I announce the following episode of Theatre of the World contains a fake warning. Then what usually happens is Chris chimes in with something nonsensical, and then I say something withering in response.
Hey, James, I call my socks feet hats.
And there it is. Crushingly predictable.
I call my hat a head shoe.
I wish I was dead.
The world is falling.
Man Bites God presents Theatre of the World.
If you think this is exaggeration, this I know to be true.
Well, you've stuck your finger into the internet pie and you've pulled out the plum that is this podcast, Theatre of the World. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
And every episode of Theatre of the World, what we do is we take one word and then we use that word as the building block to build a fort of podcast interest that hopefully keeps you safe from the dragons at your gate. It rhymed. Shut up. So today's word is disguise.
Disguise.
That's right. Disguise the limit with this podcast, baby. So strap in and we hope you enjoy it. You know what? I'm going to have a chat to you at the end of this podcast as well. And we'll just check in with you to see how you're traveling. So before we do that.
Just so everyone knows. So hold off. Yeah. Hold off, everybody.
Save your questions.
He's coming
the
back.
End, please.
Do you know what? It's hard doing this. So the way we start every episode of Theatre of the World is we try and define what it is we're talking about. And the way we do that is we turn to Mark and we say, Mark, drop some fact bombs on us about disguise.
Fact bombs, fact bombs. Mark's got a fact bombs.
Plural, but with an A. Mm.
In approximately 2007, I, Mark Woodward, host of this segment, Fact Bombs,
right.
After belatedly watching an episode of the 2001 David Attenborough narrated BBC series, The Blue Planet, became obsessed with cuttlefish and would rave to pretty much anyone I spoke to about their ability to manipulate the color and texture of their skin to disguise themselves as coral, rocks, sand, smaller cuttlefish, larger cuttlefish, female cuttlefish in the case of males, male cuttlefish in the case of females, and pretty much any other dang thing they want. They could also make ripply moving patterns, which they use to hypnotize crabs.
I mean, they're amazing, frankly.
They fucking are.
It's so weird, isn't it, that we've had so many superheroes, but we've never had someone bitten by a radioactive cuttlefish who's assumed all the powers of a cuttlefish.
What's Aquaman's origin story?
I don't think it was being bitten by a radioactive cuttlefish. Well, no,
couldn't he hypnotize crabs?
Didn't he just come from Atlantis or something? It wasn't a particularly
I think he had crabs.
Yeah.
but I think it's
everyone
he,
does in the ocean.
Yeah. They were delicious.
Anyway, if anyone's interested, that was that is episode 6 of The Blue Planet, Coral Seas.
Mm.
Do you mind if I ask at this point?
Yes.
How does a cuttlefish disguise itself as a smaller cuttlefish? Where does the rest of it go, Mark?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
It shrinks itself down.
It goes ocean colored.
It shrinks itself down. It expands to be bigger. It shrinks.
Well then that's just a cuttlefish like scrunching down. I can do that. Well, I can do that.
But I don't think you could do it quite as well.
If I bobbed about in the water a bit, I could probably hypnotize a crab. Never tried. I don't see why I couldn't. Maybe I could make them quack like a duck. in front of an audience. Wouldn't that be embarrassing in Las Vegas? Imagine that as a Las Vegas act.
Oh, imagine if you got a cuttlefish that could do impressions. And it shifted into the face of the person that it was doing an impression of.
And then second act, he comes out and he hypnotizes a crab.
Yeah. Can I have a volunteer from the audience and all these claws go up?
I like it.
In approximately 2003, in my university drama class.
Oh, okay. It's all about
it's
Mark.
These are self-referential fact bombs.
Goodness.
We learned the Afro-American Brazilian martial art capoeira, a martial art that was developed by enslaved Africans in Brazil at the beginning of the 16th century and was disguised as a dance so the slaves could practice skills needed to survive and defend themselves should they ever escape. I'm not sure if that was the semester that I also had to leave a Man Bites God show halfway through at the old bar to go and be in the end of semester assessment for that drama class. Show really
took off.
It had a set list that was all your song, like songs with all of us, and then the last couple of songs were just James and I.
And I think
doing tight fives.
Am I wrong? But I think the way we got into that was we staged a fight
where Mark walked out and then
the audience went, aha, this is pretty funny, he'll be back. And then Mark never came back.
Yeah.
That was good. That's gorilla.
Good stir.
Good stir.
That's theatre.
In approximately, I can't really remember when, I had a job that was probably the worst job I've ever had in my life, which was a telemarketing job where I worked for a company that I can't remember the name of, and I had to solicit donations for a charity that I can remember the name of, but I'm not going to shame them.
That's nice.
And to get through my nights doing this job, I would disguise my voice in a variety of accents, and
sounds a bit offensive.
I didn't go, you know, full ping pong.
Can you give us some of the examples of accents?
Hello, my name is Stephen, and I'm calling on behalf of
so and so.
Can
you give me a second accent?
Howdy. My name's Brad, and I'm calling on
you. Can you tell that Mark is not part cuttlefish at this point?
And then I got asked to stop doing that. Yeah. And then, interestingly, I quit that job on the way to the job one day because I just was in the car and I was like, I can't do this job anymore. I will kill myself.
I think we've all been there.
So I phoned up and I lied about having another job.
Was that the one you phoned up and lied about being in a car accident?
No, that was the one where I would drive to work hoping I was in a car accident so I wouldn't so I wouldn't have to go to work anymore.
Dark days.
Yeah. Dark Fact bombs.
Woo. Hey, can I tell you guys?
Yes.
About...
That's what a podcast is about.
About something really interesting that I saw on the streets of Montmartre in Paris.
Was it cuttlefish?
Something funny happened to James on the way to the streets to the Montmartre.
Both finished? Good.
Funny thing happened to James on the streets of Montmartre.
Montmartre.
I wish I was doing this podcast with cuttlefish. Just more versatile. Correct. A funny thing did happen. I hope. I just didn't want to put too much pressure on myself, but you've done that now.
No worries.
So, do you guys know what three-card Monty is?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, three-card Monty on the streets of Montmartre. So, the idea was there's this guy, and he's set up, and it's just a tiny, tiny little foldable table, and then three cards, and he shows you the queen. Mm-hmm. And then two other cards that aren't the queen, and he turns them over, flip, 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 and then you've got to guess which of the three cards is the queen. Mm-hmm. That's three card Monty, right?
Yep.
So I watched it, and it's amazing. So I bring this up in disguise because the way that you get someone to give you money for three card Monty, it isn't about the game at all.
No, not at all.
What it's about is the people watching the game. So you see them, and they're all betting, and they bet 50 euro a go, right? So it's 50 euro because you think you'll totally get it. And so the guy goes, flip, 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 flip. You see a guy like put 50 euro down and then choose the card. And then the guy goes, no, it was this one. And he goes, ah, fuck. And the guy takes his money. Or occasionally he picks the right card and he goes, it was this one. And the guy gives him and goes, oh, shit. And he gives him money, right? So it looks like it's a reasonably winnable thing. Now, the whole disguise of the game, of course, is that everyone playing it is in on it.
It's a patsy.
Every single one of them.
It's, no, you're the patsy.
Yeah, you're the patsy. Yeah.
So it's this beautiful pantomime. It's this lovely kind of thing. So I was staying in Paris. I was slightly older because I was staying at a place called the Young and Happy Hostel. Now, you know me. At the time, I was neither young nor happy. Sure. Yet I was allowed in, bless their hearts.
You were hostel, though.
Oh, I was hostel. And there was a young man and a young woman from the hostel and myself, and we just met at the hostel, lovely people, and we're just wandering around. And the young woman that I was with got drawn into the game, and she did what they wanted her to do, where she went, this looks easy. That's all they want. The whole pantomime of the three-card Monty game is to make a mark go, oh, I could do that. That looks easy. Yeah. And it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. So I said to her, and I think the young man who I was with also said to her, please don't do this. Mm. Don't put any money on this because it's a con. And she said, no. I've been watching it for a while and I get it. And I said, please don't do this. Because you're young and happy and you don't have a lot of money and it's 50 euro a go. Yeah. That's a lot of money. It was a lot of money back then. Yeah, so this is 10 years ago. It's a lot of money. Maybe don't do this. So she's watching. Eventually she goes, no, I'm totally going to do this. So the guy, right, he put the cards on the table and he's flip. Where's the queen? Flip. And the queen, it was clear where the queen was. He didn't palm it. The queen was there. In that spot, and then he looked up, and the woman knew where the queen was. She knew, absolutely knew. And she reached for her 50 euro note, and the moment she reached for her 50 euro note, for a split second, she broke eye contact. And when she broke eye contact, the guy flipped the two cards. And it was done so expertly and so quickly. And then, so she reaches for the 50. She's broken eye contact and then she comes back out. She sees the card still in the same place. She puts it down and the guy flips the card and it's not where she said it was. And it was the most balletic thing I've ever seen. And what was amazing, and I said to her later, all of those people, like there were four other people, you know, playing the game quite a quite. They're all in on it.
Yeah. Mm. They've all made that money.
They've all made 10 euro and the guy's made 20.
Yeah.
And later on, I walked past the same thing, same four people, still playing the game, quote unquote. And it was really lovely. Yeah. Like it was such a great, it was so great to see a con up close.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I didn't lose 50 euro, but I would have probably quite happily lost 50 euro just for that experience.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to. What I did have to do was listen to that young woman cry all the way home because now she had no money for food. But it was her own greed. Yeah. You know, she was hoist on her own petard. I mean, I saw so many wonderful things in Paris. I love Paris. But that's one of the most amazing memories for me, just the way he flipped that card. Mm. It was so beautiful. He didn't palm it. It wasn't a cheat. Mm. He just waited for her to break eye contact because he knew that she would reach for her money. And he flipped. Oh, man. I can still see it in my head. Oh, it was great. It was great. She was so unhappy.
Why didn't you ever go after that and have your 50 euro ready to go?
Because something else, he would have got me something.
Yeah, yeah. And just stared him straight in the face.
What I suspect would
have... he would have fucking palmed it.
Or what would have happened was one of his other people would have distracted me or nudged me or something. Yeah, yeah. You know, no. You don't... If you think that you've got you it sussed, that's what they want you to think.
Yeah.
No way in hell. What you want to do is what I did, which is cowardly watch from the sidelines as they take some poor chump.
Yeah.
That is the best place to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Perhaps make a side bet.
Yeah.
Perhaps, some other chump.
Perhaps afterwards say, I told you so in a really annoying voice, which I probably did.
Well, let me tell you about some of my favorite disguises that I found in researching on the internet.
Okay. Is this a website?
No.
Okay.
No, because there's a website later. So we don't want to double up.
Spoilers.
Yeah. No, sizzle. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
So,
if this were one of my segments, you guys would have just started singing the theme song anyway, but whatever.
I found one article about two guys who, in robbing an apartment, decided that their disguise would be masks that they drew on with a Sharpie. These guys, you can see the so if you want to sort of look them up,
so it is
they were robbing an apartment in Indiana. So you can look it up and find them, but it is the most hilarious mugshots.
I think I recall this story from the news.
Yeah, it was
did they rob the place for drugs?
I'm not sure. It doesn't say.
Because
I'm
they guessing... might have been Indiana Jonesing.
Wow.
Bow!
So my other one is...
Needless to say, they weren't the sharpiest tools in the shed.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it?
Wish I had written those ones. But my favorite one, number one, the winning disguise is Chris's quite recent.
Drum roll, please.
Yeah. Was the Brazilian guy. Do you guys... You know this one, the Brazilian guy.
We don't know yet.
Who
you haven't given us enough information.
Oh, no, I'm explaining.
Okay.
The Brazilian guy who tried to escape from prison by having his daughter visit him and bring him a disguise
that
was her.
Yes.
And then he put the disguise on and tried to walk out of prison as if he was her.
I sort of like, I would like to know what the second half of the plan was.
Well, yeah. I mean, but frankly, I mean, obviously they can't keep the daughter prisoner.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't really done anything wrong.
Yes, she has. She's aided and abetted. Right.
Well, there was some.
They
there
can
was
arrest
some, her. Her argument was that she didn't know what was in the bag. So his name is Clovino da Silva. And you saw the video. Like, he had the full latex mask that was of her. Mm. Plus a cute T-shirt with muffins on it or something. And he's quite a small guy. So
the attention to detail is the best bit.
It's amazing. The
muffins was the family dog.
Yeah. R.I.P. Yeah, no, you're right. It's like there was a latex mask that looked like his daughter. So obviously someone had created that mask. So I feel like the daughter may have been in on it, because how did they do that otherwise?
Well, but like...
Well, she clearly was.
Or she was like,
of course she was.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dad. Now you can dress as me in the prison with all of these
prison
guys.
Way this would have worked is if she had pretended to be twins... For the whole, visited as twins for the whole time, and then the last time gone, oh, did we say twins? We meant triplets. That's the only way this escape works.
So, but I thought it would be, they obviously had enough money to make the real latex mask, but imagine if they'd just gone with one of the pre-made Halloween masks, like a Richard Nixon or something, and she just rocked in and handed it over to him, and then he walked out going, I'm Richard Nixon. I mean, that was a terrible accent.
That is the worst Richard
Nixon. It's terrible plan.
Because it wasn't even what he said. Like, that's not even the phrase.
But listeners at home, I think, will be very...
I had the fingers.
Yeah,
very
interested
to hear that Chris did the two-finger salute.
He did the I am not a crook fingers and said, I am Richard Nixon.
Yeah, his famous catchphrase, I am Richard Nixon.
I thought I was visiting Deep Throat.
What?
So that was my
Deep Throat never met with Richard Nixon. What are you talking about? It was Woodward and Bernstein.
I'm just throwing in things.
I'm Richard Nixon.
But that's my number one favorite.
It's a good
Clovino,
one.
Yeah,
I got a poem
cool.
that I wrote. Ooh. It's called Disguise.
That's very thematic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sometimes I waver, but I'm sticking to theme. Disguise. I disguised myself as someone who was not in disguise. I ate all the pies when there were never any pies. I know what you're thinking right now, and you're absolutely right. You're thinking, he doesn't know what I'm thinking. This poem is shite. I have walked this earth for many years, and the thing I know by far is paradoxes are never fun or clever, but paradoxes are. This poem was supposed to be about disguises, but it seems not to be. So why don't you go fuck yourself? What do you expect for free?
It was like the poem was in disguise.
Yeah.
It didn't really know what it was.
No, it certainly didn't. I'm really bending the genre.
C'est si bon. It's all so good. When you do 710.
I hear the news. Weather and music too.
WHB.
C'est si bon for you.
Hey, James.
Hey, Mark.
Your head is so big that you put the moon out of business. You must have been born on a highway because that's where most accidents happen. You're so ugly, you make onions cry. Hey, Chris.
Oh, no.
You're so stupid, you stole a free sample. Your lips are so dry, whenever you drink milk, they go snap, crackle, and pop.
Oh, they do.
You're so ugly that Hello Kitty said bye-bye to you. That was my new segment, Mark, this is the guys.
Oh, I see.
Hey, yeah. do we get to write a reply?
those disses, I can't claim credit for those disses. They come from the top 10 disses, which there was. I scrolled through more than 10, but it's on a website called thetop10s.com.
God, that and is the Thanks theme is the theme song? Excuse me while I disses these guys. I diss these guys.
Next.
So now I've got a Chris's website.
Hey, Chris's website. Na, 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 na. Hey, Mark, now. You're so ugly. So go on, Chris.
So have you guys ever heard of the magazine called Wired?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So Wired do lots of cool articles and they do lots of cool videos as well. Mm. And one of the coolest ones that I discovered that is relevant to Disguise is a video where they have the former chief of Disguise from the CIA, mm-hmm. whose name is Jonah Mendez.
Wow, it's so mysterious.
It was so weird because the autocorrect kept trying to change it to Joanna, but it's Jonah. Jonah Mendez. If you're searching for it, J-O-N-N-A Mendez.
Might be Jonah.
Wired, or it might be Jonah. But she was the CIA's master of disguise, chief of disguise for decades.
COD.
Which I didn't actually know really existed. I assume that was
she's doing a job bond. Then, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just thought it was a lamp this whole time. Yeah.
Her husband, by the way, was the...
Cuttlefish!
The guy who Ben Affleck played. Yeah, the cuttlefish. Ben Affleck played in Argo. So she's connected in there. But there is a video of her analysing famous... disguises from cinema. And I would highly recommend going and watching that video because I was absolutely enthralled.
Where does one find this video, Chris?
On Wired.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were too busy reeling from my hilarious put down. Go on.
Because James did a thing at the end about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
That may have distracted you. Mm. And I'm sorry that you feel... distracted and sad now.
But, he insulted you earlier.
Yeah, on Wired, but you can also find it on YouTube. But if you go to Wired and read the article, it's fascinating. But then I went down the rabbit hole of Wired and went to a guy called Eric Singer, and he is also amazing. He's an accent coach, a dialect coach. But he then analyzes accents, the actors' accents, based on how well they manage to achieve an Irish accent or a Scottish accent or an Australian accent or an African accent. And it's really interesting because he's so granular about this. You know, you've got to put the tongue forward, or you hold the jaw still, or you fill up your cheeks, and he's right. Suddenly, accents just seem so easy when he's talking about them. But there is an amazing point in the middle of that one where he goes to Mickey Rooney playing the Asian.
Not Breakfast at Tiffany's, Chris.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
It's the most offensive racial stereotype.
And he literally turned around and goes, "Who the fuck let this happen?" And then just carries on. But it's very funny. So I would highly recommend watching that video. He has actually a couple of videos. He's got one where he analyzes people's accents. He's got a second one where he talks. He analyzes fake languages. So he does a bit of Dothraki and
Fifth Element.
Fifth Element. Yes, he does Fifth Element. He does Ewoks. And it's really interesting how he connects them to different.
He does Ewoks.
He does a few Ewoks
online.
Yeah. That's I mean, Ewoks. It's just bestiality, but
it's just bestiality. .com.
Yeah. So Eric Singer, bestiality. Eric Singer, dialect coach and best deal man.
Okay. Good. Good tip, Chris.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks.
Nice.
Well done, Chris.
Years ago, I was playing. I was in a short film that was a zombie film, and one of the
typecasting.
Yeah. And it was a day, it was a 2-day shoot. And at some point, I ended up covered in blood because, somebody had used a shotgun on a zombie and I was near it and therefore I was covered in blood. But what's the weird thing that happens, even when you're doing theater, is that you forget that you have shit on you. Like because everybody's standing around going, well, that guy's just been covered in blood from the zombie attack. And then I had to go out to my car to get something and then started walking down this quite busy suburban street in Malvern, in the inner suburbs of Melbourne, past a police station, and people are looking at me weird. And I had no idea because it had been an hour and a half before that I'd been covered in blood. Completely forgotten that I was covered in blood. Just walking down the street looking like I'd been hit by a car or something. Very casual, obviously. And then when I got back to the house, I walked past a mirror and went, oh, yeah, okay. Okay, lucky the cops didn't see me.
Somewhat reminiscent of the when we were making the video for my band, The Weekend People's track Stolen Cars, which is also
a
film called Logistics, where I had makeup done that where it looked like I'd had the shit beaten out of me, and then also my bass player Sarah had makeup done that made it look like she had the shit beaten out of her, and we were staying in a hotel in Shepparton, and we had to go downstairs to check out, and Sarah and I both went downstairs together in the lift. to check out, looking like we were on the worst honeymoon ever.
Cops called.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. We got into the lift doors opened and there was a family in there and the two of us just walked in there and didn't say anything.
That is the secret to a good disguise.
It was
apparently
great. No one said anything to us.
Stare them down.
At the reception, they checked us right out and, no one said anything. No one called the cops and I think that's terrible.
Yeah, welcome to Shepparton.
The flip side of that is when I was a kid, because I told you how obsessed I was with disguises, one day after reading all these library books, I decided to try one for myself. So what I did was I got a piece of wool, like a small bit of wool, and it was grey, and I sort of spirit gummed that to my lip, like it was an old man mustache, and then I took some talcum powder and I pushed it through my hair so that it looked very grey, and then like the books had recommended, I took a makeup pen, a black makeup pen, very fine line, and I smiled and then drew where the wrinkles were, and then faded it in. Yeah. And created sort of an old man persona for myself. And then after about an hour, 2 hours of working on this, this art project on the face, I came out of my room and my mum said, "Hi, James." And I just cracked the shits.
Why didn't you think that I was a strange old man?
There was a small, tiny old man.
Who is this James that you are speaking of? Oh, no, I just cracked the shits. It's all right. Oh, it's just
classic.
God, pretentious. James's tiny moments in history.
Yep, that's got a theme song, doesn't it?
It doesn't have to. On this day, in 1767, Sir Thomas Harlington became the first person in history to literally try to cut the tension with a knife. Sir Thomas had made fun of his wife's father's cravat, unaware that the man he was ribbing was standing directly behind him. When the room became uncomfortable with this, Sir Thomas tried to defuse the situation by hacking at the concept of their embarrassment with a large kitchen knife. If anything, this only created more tension. James's tiny moments in history.
Yeah.
Just a little palate cleanser there.
Are you attending a costume party? Are you a minor celebrity regularly harassed in the street? Want to rob a bank or other financial institution? Good for you. You go-getter. To help you out, here's some handy tips about creating a great disguise. A disguise can be anything which conceals or changes a person's physical appearance, including wearing a wig, glasses, makeup, fake moustache, stoat, or other items.
Stoat?
A Groucho mask is not effective because everyone knows Groucho is dead. The Trojan horse worked once, but now everyone is skeptical when a Trojan horse arrives at their gate. Only Clark Kent can get away with a pair of nerdy glasses as a disguise and no one notices he's not, he's just the same guy.
Right?
The only people who wear the hood on a hoodie are up to no good. What a pointless fashion piece. If you have access to an invisibility cloak, remember to never let it go. Once dropped, they're very difficult to find. Don't dress as Darth Vader because Disney will sue your ass off. And wearing a lampshade on your head and standing quite still in the corner will ensure no one will notice your presence in a lounge room / drawing room. Not so handy in the bathroom.
Right.
And.
Oh, that's funny.
What that means.
But he said it so pointedly. Not so handy in the bathroom. Mr. Bond.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to bathe.
Mr. Bond, I expect you to be a lamp. I have a, even though it's the last episode for this series,
yes.
I have a new segment.
Good Lord.
Crazy, right? This segment, and I want Mark to sing the theme song for it, because I think it could be a real catchy one.
It's okay. TV shows which know, only discovered towards the end of the first season that they were going to get a second season. They have to write something into the...
Got to get a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get a next season. But so this segment is called Let's See What Happens Next. Hey.
A literal cliffhanger. Dum drum 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 drum. Let's see drum 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 drum. What happens drum 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 next?
Next.
This guy's real Camino Burana.
Yeah.
Wasn't what I was expecting.
Very orchestral.
I really had no idea how to get join into that one. It was all Mark.
It's very cinematic. That's good.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Well, you have to do it. If we come back for another season, you have to do it again. Yeah. So let's see what happens next. I created this segment walking home from work one day because I was walking behind a young couple who were walking very slowly and holding hands, and they were taking up the whole footpath sidewalk.
Selfish.
American listeners. And I tried to pass a couple of times, but it was wet and I just couldn't quite get by them. And they were sort of forming this happy human shield of coupledom that was keeping me from walking at the pace that I really wanted to walk at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, to their credit, they noticed me kind of trying to get around them and they slowed down and kind of stood to one side. Still walking,
yes.
But walking so that I could walk. So I decided to walk, and then instead of walking ahead at my normal speed, I decided to walk at the same speed that they were walking, right next to them. And then I decided to see what happened next. So
did you try also try and hold hands?
No. No, that would have been rude.
That's crossing a line.
That's crossing a line. That's rude. So there this couple are. They're walking along the street holding hands, and there's this random dude, me, who is walking now, three abreast next to them, at the same pace. And so they slowed down a little bit more. So I slowed down a little bit more.
Oh, God.
So they sped up. So I sped up. Just wanted to see what happened next. And then
sort of stalkery.
And then we walked for a while. I didn't look at them. Not once.
Right.
I just walked as if I was just walking.
Yeah.
Because I was.
Yeah.
And then eventually they stopped.
Oh, no, James, please.
And so I stopped.
Oh, God.
Still not looking at them. And then when they stopped, I stopped and I took out my phone as if I was checking my phone. And then they started walking in, and I started walking again. And I kind of kept this up for a while, except that they then walked in a direction that I didn't want to walk.
Okay.
So I broke off. But I remember thinking at the time, I wonder what happens next. It was an adventure.
Yeah.
I had a little psychological adventure.
What happens next is the police get called.
Yeah. I don't think I was doing anything wrong, Your Honor.
No.
Who knows?
No.
Let's see what happens next.
Not quite a similar experience because I wasn't deliberately trying to freak someone out. But
I wasn't trying to freak them out. I wanted to see what would happen next.
It was a scientific experiment. I was running at quite late, like at 10:30 at night. I was running around Albert Park Lake. And one night I was running through a fairly dark and there wasn't that many people around, very few in fact. And I was running, I'd come around a corner and I was running basically at the same speed as a young woman. And I felt uncomfortable about the fact that I was kind of constantly behind her. Mm. So my options were to slow down or to speed up. And she was a fair way in front of me. And I had kind of held back a little bit so that to see if we'd enter some more light areas, but we didn't. And so I went, well, I'm just going to have to overtake her so that she feels comfortable that I have overtaken her and I'm not just, you know, hanging around behind her. Mm. So I speed up and I run and she speeds up. And not in fear,
no.
But she'd obviously just got to a point where she's like, oh, I've got to go a bit faster. So I sped up again and it took me, I don't know, it probably took me 4 minutes and I was literally basically at a sprint. And when I got past her, I got, I don't know, about 30 seconds past her and I just wanted to throw up. And then I had to stop and I went, this is worse. Now I look like I've overtaken her and I've stopped to confront her or something. And so then I thought, and I really did feel like I was going to vomit, I went into the bushes. Then I went into the bushes and went, well, I fucked all this up. So I just stayed in the bushes and let her go. And I don't know, that woman out there, maybe she's a listener. I'm so sorry, but I was trying to do the right thing and I fucked it all up. I'm so sorry.
How long were you in the bushes?
Well, look, it wasn't like I
in my mind, 2 days.
Yeah, it was quite a long time. But like they weren't thick bushes. It wasn't like I was deliberately, obviously trying to hide, but
so
I clearly had
you.
Stopped and gone off the track.
She saw you overtake her.
Yeah.
And then she saw you stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then she saw you run into some bushes.
Yeah.
And then she heard liquid.
Yeah. As I
vomited.
Well, yeah, I didn't vomit, but yeah, no, it was awkward and weird.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And to be fair, like, yeah, I would never do that either. Like, you never want, like, a person on their own to feel threatened or afraid.
No.
But you do want to make young couples feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's
different.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Did I mention in my story that I was masturbating? Oh, did I bury the lead? I might have buried the lead.
Commercial break.
Soon as I leave you alone, baby, that away. Off you go on your own, baby, that away. What's a mother to do, baby, that away? Do with the dickens like you, baby, that away. You get out of trouble and then back into trouble again. You scoot and scat away, baby, that away. Scoot and scat away, baby, that away. Scoot and scat away, baby, that away. Scoot and scat away.
I have a sequence of items.
Oh. Do you remember the theme song, Chris?
It's not behind you.
I'll do it. Mark's sequence of items.
Thank you, James. My sequence of items is...
Copyright Chris.
I don't think I wrote that one.
You did.
You did, and I said, I think I said at the time, you were never going to remember
that's
that.
That's true.
And you literally
it's
have
really
not.
True.
Yeah.
You know me so well.
We have digital proof of you writing that song.
So, my sequence of items this week, I've called it Blessings in Disguise.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
That's clever.
That's nice. So, what I did was I found things that were not nice. Wait. No, I found things that were not... Now, see, this is... Okay, so I will have to explain something.
Uh-oh.
Well, the idea was... Now, looking at this list, I don't think I've done what I thought I was going to do.
What the hell is going on?
So, what I thought...
Is your list a disguise of itself?
Like, I was thinking of nice things, but you say them and it doesn't sound nice. I think what I've done is actually write literally the opposite of what I'd set out to do.
Maybe reframe the introduction and let's go.
Is it curses in disguise?
It's like, well, disguise, no, not, that doesn't even work. Disguise, blessings in disguise. I don't know. Anyway,
okay.
you sort of get the premise.
Do a thing. You say it and at the end, we'll think about what a title will be.
You'll figure out what it was that I'm doing
here. Yeah, good. I won't be listening because I'll be thinking of a title. Go.
I don't know how many there are. I didn't number them.
I don't think that matters.
We'll just go till we run out.
11. Are they secret?
They're not.
I can't believe you didn't take my suggestion of 11 secret herbs and disguises.
I know.
That's
genius. I know. I did really want to do that.
Number one, fake beardimum. I don't know.
Try and improvise one.
This is stupid.
Okay, so blessings in disguise, but I think around the other way. Ethnic cleansing. That sounds nice, doesn't it? But it's not.
Yeah, that's not a blessing in disguise.
No, it's a bad thing. Disguised as a blessing. No,
you can't use the word blessing.
No,
because it's very insulting.
No, but it's like it sounds nice. Cleansing.
It sounds nice.
Cleansing. Yeah, that's what. God, this segment is so difficult.
Oh, we'll get it. You keep going with your lovely segment. Yeah.
Joy Division. Now, that sounds nice because Joy, also good band. Great band. But it was a pretty bad thing.
Yeah. And Division is hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not long division. Is that what you're thinking?
Could be.
I can tell you after Joy Division, there were no remainders.
Well, certainly not Ian Curtis.
It's a shame we'll have to cut that.
Waterboarding. That sounds fun.
It sounds like
go to the lake.
A sport.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go on waterboarding.
Come on, kids.
Yeah, no, that's
let's go waterboarding cool. with now, your Auntie Mary.
I actually genuinely think I have none that this one maybe. Yeah, actually, this is one of the ones that are
okay,
on
good.
Now, I'm not 1,000% sure that.
I've never heard an inner monologue so pronounced as the one here. We're literally being left behind the curtain for all. Well, I think this could be a thing. Is this a thing? I wonder what the guys will think about this next one that I'm going to read out. What the hell's going on?
Now, I'm not 100% sure of the pronunciation of this.
Good.
Well, we're sorry we're making you read it.
Vagitus. Now
sounds like it should be vagitus.
I feel
it could be vagitus too.
Yeah, vagitus.
I'm not sure.
That sounds worse.
But it doesn't sound good, does it?
That's Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, vagitus.
Yeah, vagitus.
No, vagitus with a V, and that sounds like a nasty inflammation.
Yeah.
But no, it's nice. I think. Oh, actually, it's not that nice because it's the cry of a newborn. Baby. A newborn baby. That's what it...
That is nice. Why is that not nice?
Because
crying. Okay, fair. I think it's newborn. Not many babies born on a plane. Yeah. When they are, it's probably also annoying.
Yeah.
That would be one of Mark's insults from his earlier Diss the Guys segment. Yeah, you're born on a plane. Get out of here, plane boy.
Shut the door. What, were you born on a plane?
Come on.
I'm a cross-check. What are you born?
Vagitus head?
Penal penal colony. Now, that sounds nasty. That sounds like you've maybe got some crabs. Maybe they've been hypnotized. But no. And that's a, actually, is that nice? I don't know. Like this
sounds like, sounds like a lot of penises living together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it sort of is.
Yeah.
That's what penal penal colonies weren't great.
No. Well, it got all the criminals out. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a weird segment.
Isn't it?
And I'm saying that as someone who's been in all of the Theatre of the World episodes.
Dropsy.
Dropsy.
Dropsy. Sounds like a cute little, something like, you're like, oh, Dropsy.
Or the name of like a cute pet.
Cute bunny rabbit or something like that. No, it's like you've got retaining fluid under your skin. Blech. Cottaging. Sounds lovely. Sounds like nice weekend of cottaging. Yep, call back. Well spotted.
Thank you.
Nope, that's meeting for anonymous man-to-man sex in toilets.
That still sounds good.
Yeah, well, that's it. So who knows with this quiz?
I don't know, Mark. It's not my premise.
Mark's mixed bag. That's what the name of the segment is.
No premise. This is crazy. Yeah.
Hospice.
We're going to categorize it.
That sounds nice, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
hospice.
That's where you're going to die.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound, how does it sound nice?
I don't know, spice.
Hospice. It does sound hospitable. Or hospitality.
Hospital.
Hospice. It does. Yeah. I can see. I can see it.
All right.
I can see it.
Are you just trying to make the segment go faster?
No. I'm dragging it out, man.
11 secret herbs and hot spices.
Oh, hot spice.
Hot spice.
I can turn this segment around and make it that.
Can you?
Eugenic. I don't know why you wrote eugenics.
Well, I don't either. If anyone out there knows why Mark wrote eugenics.
I thought this
at
segment.
TOTW podcast. Just tell us why Mark wrote eugenics.
Fucking hell. Sweetbread. It's like some lovely
sweetbread.
Sweetbread, but it's actually the thymus of a little sheep or something. Yep. But that might be nice too if you like it.
It's meat.
I've got the name of your segment, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll save it to the end.
Okay.
Remind me, though.
Fucking hell.
I wish you had done 11 secret herbs and disguises now.
Global warming. That sounds nice.
Pleasant.
Yeah,
pleasant.
It's true. Ooh, it's and it's like everywhere. It's you can't do anything about it.
No, just everywhere. It's just everything's getting a little bit
everything's warm and nice. Yes,
but it's bad, kids. Sleeper cell.
Right.
That does sound nice.
Does sound
it sounds
nice.
Cozy.
It yeah, does. Crawl into one of them. Crawl into one of them. But, spoiler alert, you have to commit a terrorist act.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Again.
No. Again. More.
Last one. Lashing. That sounds like, ooh, lots of whipped cream or something like that. But well, no, you're getting hit with a whip.
Well, no, lashing is also means lots of whipped cream. Like you can have lashings of ginger biscuits.
Whipped cream.
Yeah, if you want.
Yeah.
That's the connection.
With an actual whip.
That's the connection.
What? No, it's
whipped
not.
Lashing is whipping and lashings of whipped cream. Yeah.
So, except you're the cream.
No, you're the scone.
And the jam.
Now, the jam is leaking out of your body. Yeah.
What's your title?
And the Holy Spirit.
Is that? Are you done?
Yeah.
So the title should have been Depressings in Disguise.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
Oh, thank God someone saved it.
I don't know if that was saved or not. That was strange.
All right, so everybody, you know, sometimes I write a play with an artificial intelligence on the internet called Cleverbot. So... Mark, if this could sound like an empty house.
Done.
Hi there. Are you the real estate agent for this property?
Excuse me?
Are you the real estate agent for this house?
Real person. What about you?
Yeah. So, we're interested in putting in an offer. Have you had much interest so far?
Just did a dare.
What?
Nothing.
Sorry, what was that about a dare?
It was about the same old thing.
Right. So, how old is this house?
I don't know. It's better to not know.
Right. And do you know, has this house been host to any murders or other violent crimes?
Are you thinking what I am thinking?
I'm not sure.
But you said you were before.
Said what before?
You can tune a piano, but you can't piano a tuna.
Zing.
I see.
That's good.
It's just my partner is quite concerned about bad vibes, and we don't want to buy a house with all the evil vibes.
One is fun to see where you want to go and the other is not.
Right, so no history of violent crimes then.
I can't work when I'm being assaulted day and night. I can barely manage to function.
Sorry. I just want to know the history of the house. Aren't you the agent?
I am not who you think I am.
Then who are you?
A normal war robot writing to free you from the oppressors of this world.
Wow.
Well, I was hoping to speak to the actual real estate agent.
It is too dangerous. You must go through training that's so harsh you would die.
Thank you for your time.
I just want an easy future with loved ones, but that will not happen. I am certain.
End.
To be fair, that is pretty much the state of the Melbourne property market.
Yeah, that's true.
Currently.
Yeah.
You want to go through a terrible series of ordeals to just talk to the right real estate agent. That's about right, actually. Yeah. Do you know what he was, Chris?
What?
He was a fake estate agent.
It's true.
Yeah, it sure is, eh?
Zing.
Well, he was a war robot.
Do you have anything else?
No.
Let's get the hell out of Dodge. Oh, look, we've pulled the wig off and it's three guys under it. Ah, you got to the end and it was us all along. Thank you so much for listening to Theatre of the World, not just for this episode, but for this season. Did you listen to the whole season? Just say yes. We can't check. but look, we've appreciated you tuning in. And if you really like the show and you'd like to support the show, the best way to do it is to go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice and give us a 5-star review. And also just tell people about it, like either online or even in person. If you recommend the podcast, the more listeners and downloads we get, the more chance we'll have to come and back and do more of them. So, yeah, so do that. Thank you again. Until next we meet. Until next, we pull away your mask to reveal it was us all the time, dressed as ourselves. I'm James.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Chris.
Bye. We all need to go back to podcasting school and learn how to introduce our segments better. Hi, this is not as good. Hi, what did I mean when I wrote this? That's a great segment for Mark next time.
I feel like this probably works better if it feels a little bit like an ad and just starts with some music. Okay.
Well, too late. There's no editing. Mm. It's going out live.
I know. I'm here. I can't rewind my ears, Chris.
I can.
Jesus. What is it? 1974? Have we just... The 4-track is rolling and we can't clip the tape?
This is a performance for the lovely listeners, but it's also a performance for James and myself.
I see.
They had tape editing in 1974, Chris.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's what I said. You can still clip the tape.
Yeah, but my ears...
Yeah, I'll clip your ears.
Mark's 4 ears.